Well, good day and welcome to another episode here of the Disaster Podcast. This is another special update segment on what's going on with Hurricane Florence. We've got Dr. Joe Holly with the IST, the Incident Support Team, down in North Carolina, and he's going to be checking in with us here shortly. I've got my co-host Sam Bradley on here, and you and I have been texting back and forth quite a bit, kind of following the news coverage and the weather coverage and trying to get an idea of just the scope of this thing. It's massive, Sam.
Oh my God, yeah. I mean, I appreciate the updates that you're texting me because I don't have time to watch the news all day long. So, you know, you're as it happens, hey, check this out. So I really appreciate your updates. But, you know, it doesn't get better than having Joe Holly in the field and can tell us what it's like from boots on the ground.
Definitely. And, you know, let's go ahead and jump into that interview we recorded just a short time ago with Joe, and we'll dump that in here right now. Well, we're back with another special segment with Joe Holly. Dr. Joe is down in North Carolina with the incident support team for FEMA, and he's down there. I also have my co-host Sam Bradley on the call. Hey, Sam.
Hey, Jamie.
And so why don't we get right into talking with Dr. Joe. So, Sam, I'm sure you have some questions you've already got lined up.
Actually, I haven't had a chance to talk to Joe enough to really know what's going on. We do have some questions based on what you and I have seen in the news. But first, let's hear what Joe's day was like.
Well, so today has been a very busy day. The rain where I have been based out of, which is in Kinston, North Carolina, has finally slowed down here as the storm sort of moves around to our south. So I spent most of today in New Bern, North Carolina, with several of our task forces down there. We've had 340-something rescues and evacuations so far. Been involved in a couple of pretty serious incidences, one of which had a couple of fatalities associated with it. Lots of territory to cover. Tried to balance that with making contact with some of the hospitals in the area and seeing how they're holding up to ensure that, you know, one, those resources are available for patients that we might come across, but also for our guys in case something happens to somebody. Had tried to make it from there down to the Jacksonville, North Carolina, or the Wilmington, North Carolina area. But the flooding now is so dynamic that I literally was not able to get sort of across many of the roadways because the floodwaters were coming up so fast. So had a rather frustrating afternoon of driving around only to be dead-ended and turn around and then be dead-ended trying to get out. And feel sort of lucky at the end of the day that I was able to get out of that at all before almost all of those roads were closed off down through there.
Joe, what's the total rainfall been? Jamie's been reporting on Wilmington, and that sounds pretty scary, but I don't know how that equates to where you are.
It's a little bit difficult because obviously it's varied quite a bit depending on where you are. We've probably had 12 or 18 inches here where I am. And then I know down, you know, in the more closer to the coast, and then has been, you know, 30 plus inches of rain, and certainly in areas that are on the northeast corner of the eye of the storm at landfall. So that was really just north of Wilmington, Jacksonville, Mayfield, I think is the name of that little town. All of those have had probably 30 plus inches of rain over the last 36-48 hours.
And that's what I've seen in those areas. And unfortunately, it looks like there's still some pretty heavy rain bands coming into those regions expected tonight into tomorrow morning. And they're thinking maybe another 8 to 12, maybe isolated patches of 18 inches between now and then is what they're calling for in some of those places, which is kind of scary considering what they already have.
No question about it. I certainly drove through some of those areas today, and the rains were quite heavy. The winds have died down some, but it is still just dumping buckets of rain. I think the disaster is really just sort of beginning at this point, with rivers rising as fast as they are, and of course the storm moving inland and twisting around to the north so that it refills those rivers from further upstream so that they continue to flood for a longer period of time. So I think this is going to be a long-term event, much like Harvey and others have been.
Oh. Joe, I have to ask, it sounds like you're familiar with the one incident. Jamie sent me a long text on it when it was happening on CNN, but the unfortunate issue of a very large tree falling on a house and killing a mom and an infant, that's very sad. Were you involved in that one at all?
Yeah, that was one that the USAR system was involved in. We had a team there working with the local responders. They had already sort of gotten the call on that, and we were able to come along and help them out a little bit with just some additional manpower and equipment. There were several other family members, or I don't know if they were family members, or several other people in the house that were able to get out. One was partially trapped by that tree. But was able to be extricated. And then it took quite a bit of work to ultimately get to the two fatalities because they were completely pinned by that huge tree.
Jamie, you had a question for Joe.
Yeah, and that kind of brings me around to the question I had, because I've been watching the coverage pretty steadily and trying to get a sense on multiple different channels and sources of the resilience of the local responders. I mean, they're coming into 72 hours of readiness, constant readiness and response. What's your take on how they're holding up?
I'll have to say everybody I interacted with today was still very engaged. They've obviously been working hard. They look pretty exhausted, but are, you know, pushing forward and getting the job done. We're hoping that some of the federal and other resources that are here are helping to relieve some of that and allow those guys to get a little downtime to go home and get some sleep. Many of them have had their own homes destroyed and so have not even had an opportunity to do much, you know, in regards to that yet. So hopefully as things kind of move on to a bit of a plateau for a while from a activity standpoint, we'll be able to sort of fill in some of that for them and allow them to break away and take care of some of those needs.
And on my way back up the road on 95, I passed, must have been 20 or 30 emergency vehicles going down 95 southbound from, looked like the logos on the side were Connecticut, of some branch of service from the Connecticut area, heading south to bring their resources. It looked like a couple of boat trailers were being hauled and some other things. So it looked like maybe a swift rescue team or two and maybe some other resources going down. So it looks like other resources are coming to bear. It's just a question of getting them there and finding them a place to stage, I guess.
Well, you're exactly right. There are a tremendous number of resources flowing in. As a matter of fact, we have more than 30, you know, federal USAR assets in the field. And we reached that number because there's only 28 teams in the field, in the system, but we are splitting teams, and putting together mission ready packages, that are smaller and a bit more nimble and a bit easier to stage someplace, as opposed to some of the larger task forces that require a lot of space and a lot of logistics. So we've got a few of those around, and then we have some other smaller entities that are around as well. There's tremendous support from the military side of thing, National Guard, et cetera, as you'd expect. And then a lot of state EMAC resources. We're actually based with a couple of large ambulance strike teams. One from my home state of Tennessee. So I got to see some home folks yesterday as they rolled in. So they've been quite busy doing evacuations and moving patients around from facilities that have been impacted by the storm.
Wow. Well, of course, there's a lot of DMATters out there wondering when the need will be established. What do you project is in terms of needing, I guess it's probably too early to tell, as far as sending people out from that area? I'm thinking Katrina, I guess, and then, or just that you mentioned the hospital infrastructure. Is that sound enough to take care of local patients?
Well, that's a great question. So the few hospitals that I have visited so far have been surprisingly resilient, despite taking some pretty big hits from the storm, and seem to be doing okay. We've had multiple phone calls and cooperative agreements with HHS and DMAT and other resources, kind of working with them to organize a response that could sort of be packaged. And by that, I mean, if we happen to come across a nursing home that is in need of, you know, care providers because the staff there is limited, but could shelter in place, then HHS, you know, has a way to supply us with some people to help do that. And of course, DMATs and other, you know, surgical type resources as well that can stand up if need be. I think some of the smaller hospitals have been more challenging to, you know, stay open and keep going. And the intel on those has been flowing through some other channels just because they tend to be more on the fringe of the storm. So the impact on them has been a little bit different than it has been on some of the others that were in downtown Wilmington, for example.
Well, that begs the question, and Jamie, you may know as well, how big an area is being affected by this storm?
Well, it's pretty monstrous. I'd say that, you know, it looks like right now North Carolina is probably taking the brunt. Part of what we're concerned about currently is that the storm is, although it's weakened a lot, the heavy rains and all that sort of stuff are going to sort of flow along the North Carolina, South Carolina border for a while and then slowly take this right turn and circle back around and head out up over the Northeast. So, Jamie, you'll be getting wetter in the next week or 10 days. But we have significant concerns about the western parts of these states just because these storms will get up next to the mountains and we'll have significant amounts of rainfall, which will cause local flooding on the western side of the state. And then, of course, that'll all move back to the eastern side of the state as it makes its way back out to the ocean. So, logistically, it's quite a challenge. There's a lot of resources in place that are kind of spread all over the place in an effort to try to get ahead of this thing a little bit and be prepared to respond to whatever incidents continue to pop up.
Well, Joe, you were saying it might plateau for a bit. Is that going to give you guys a chance to kind of, you know, brainstorm some scenarios? I know you can't tell for sure what's going to happen, but other than will be flooding.
Yeah. Sure. We're certainly trying to do that and put resources in place to give us the flexibility to respond to whatever this thing does. There's plenty of work, you know, in the path of it so far. But, you know, for some areas, the rain continues to fall so heavily that it's really challenging to even get out and get much in the way of a damage survey and that sort of stuff done and sort of see what the needs are. So in areas where the storm, you know, currently is are just sort of cranking up on some of their responses now because the weather's been so bad they haven't been able to do too much. So, you know, the damage is still occurring there. And then while we still have to take care of all that sort of stuff, we have to be concerned about significant flooding on the western side of Virginia and North Carolina that may well need additional resources over there. So, I see teams being in theater here for quite a while. We've got a long road ahead of us.
Wow. Well, you take care of yourself, certainly, and try to get some rest when you can.
I'm going to try. That sounds well, great. I'll look forward to that.
Well, your wife has been posting all kinds of wonderful things on social media about you. You're definitely her hero, and a lot of people jumped in and added on to that, not to mention our own community on Facebook that it's really enjoying the updates. Jamie, I'm throwing it back
great.
To you.
Yeah, and Joe, you know, thanks for making the time for us and for the rest of the community. I'm going to get this posted on Sunday morning so that folks can get it in a timely fashion. If you get an opportunity to catch up with us again at another time, please reach out and we'll put the recording studio together wherever we are and get your thoughts and an update.
You bet.
Sounds great, guys. I appreciate it. You guys take care, and I'll talk to you soon.
Sounds good.
All right, Joe.
And that's going to wrap up another update segment coming in from Hurricane Florence and some of our response assets that we have in our community down there, specifically Dr. Joe Holley. So we want to thank Joe for taking time out of his basically downtime to reach out to us and give us an update on what he's been up to and what he's seen firsthand down there. It sounds really devastating, Sam.
Well, it does, and it sounds like it's not going to end anytime soon. So I think we're going to see more people getting deployed out there, potentially myself. And so in one of these days, I got to catch up with Dr. Ben Abo. He's out there as well, although I'm not sure where. But hey, this is a clear case, hurricane season, that disaster weather is not our everyday weather.